Happy New Year, everyone. I don't know how long you keep wishing people Happy New Year, but I'm still in that mode, so it's really good to be here. And it is, yeah, it's a Happy New Year, but it's also a little bit of a strange New Year. I'm still in that mode. You know, you have that weird mode between sort of Christmas and New Year, where you're not sure what the day is. You're kind of... all routine in your household's gone out of a window, and you find yourself being hungry every 15 minutes. So I'm still in that phase. I'm hoping at some point that's going to pass. Otherwise, I'm quite concerned about how I'm going to look this time next year. But it's interesting, isn't it? When we think back to the festive season that we've just had, when we think about Christmas, and in the run-up to Christmas, we are sort of bombarded with advertisements, aren't we? We're told about, you know, these amazing foods that we can buy. And it's not just chocolate cake. It's Marks and Spencer's triple layer chocolate cake that tastes so good. And we're just actively encouraged just to go out and splurge and eat and drink and be merry. And it's great. And then those same adverts, a few days later into New Year, you're now told that you're sort of, your calories are too much, your cholesterol's high, and you need to get off the couch and run a 5K. So I'm not quite sure, you know, where my brain is at the moment, but it is, you know, an interesting sort of season to navigate. I think in the news this week, there's been a story for me that sort of sums up this sort of transition from 2021 to 2022. So there was a set of twins in America, if you saw this, Alfredo and Aileen, who were born 15 minutes apart. Nothing remarkable about that, except that Alfredo, the older brother, he arrived at 12:45 on the 31st of December, and then the younger sister joined him exactly at midnight. So these twins who shared the womb for this time and now celebrate their birthdays, not only on different days, different months, and even different years. And I think that for me sums up where I'm at the moment as we start this new year. And I've personally, if I'm being honest, I have struggled over these last few weeks just to get my head about what is to come in the new year. I normally take this period between sort of Christmas and New Year just to try and pause and take a bit of time off work and just consider what is to come for the new year. And I'm thinking, you know, not just sort of work-wise, but spiritually, I'm trying to get my mind reset in terms of what is to come for this year, and in terms of my role in the church, my role in my family. And if I'm being completely honest, I'd taken Moses for a little walk previous to last Sunday, and I had this in my mind, and I started getting into, I don't know if you go in this place as well, I was getting into a little bit of a negative cycle. So I was having a little moan in my mind about, oh, well, schools have not gone back, so I do a lot of work in schools, and I'm still, you know, it's still very much up in the air, and I feel like I'm on this sort of, sort of roundabout where I've been before. We always knew that 2021 in many ways was going to be hopefully a better year than 2020 for all the craziness, but in many ways it was just as difficult. We had freedom, then it was taken back off us, we had restrictions, then we were told to, you know, go out and eat out and help out and all these other things. And then we're like, oh no, we now need, you know, boosters and all these other things and restrictions. And even now, with England and Wales and Scotland doing their own thing, it does feel a little bit tricky. And while I was, you know, having a mooch with Moses while he was sleeping. Hi, mister. thank you. That's brilliant. While he was having a little bit of a mooch, I got into this negative cycle, and I got, in my spirit, I felt a real rebuke, which I'm really appreciative of, because I was starting thinking, well, what's church going to look like this year? And God just clearly said to me, Philip, church is not about you. As much as you think it is, it's not about you. And last week, as I was arriving to church, that sort of was in my mind, that actually, it's not about how I'm feeling, where I'm at, if I've read the Bible for 5 hours in a row, or if I've not, you know, prayed in days. And it was so encouraging, because from what Matt shared, and from, you know, what Pete was doing with the music, and even Jeff's little contribution, it just reminded me that God had said, yeah, church is not about you, it's about me. So I want you, last Sunday, to come and worship and praise me, because that's what I deserve. And we've got to be very careful, haven't we? Liv shared something quite poignant just then for me about how our attitude is as we arrive in church. Are we going to come through those doors this morning as a little bit of a, I don't know, a mystery shopper or a, you know, whatever, a secret shopper or a mystery diner? Are we going to sort of rate our experience based on stuff? Oh, yeah, songs were all right this morning. Yeah, wasn't too bad. There's still no coffee because of COVID. That gets marked down. Oh, the heating's on. That's a tick. Do you know, we get into this phase, don't we? And then finally, oh, yeah, well, yeah, what Philip was sharing for me, it's been said before. It doesn't need to be said again. I'll give it, 2 out of 5 stars on Church TripAdvisor. And we've got to get away from this mentality. And yeah, Liv shared just then that, why is it? Why are we coming to church? What is it for? Why are we here? And ultimately, if it's not to come and worship and praise Jesus, then we might as well just, close up and go somewhere else. Because it really, everything else, as great as it is, there's picnic afterwards, amazing. But if we're not here for the King, then I'm not interested. And I hope you share that. And I hope it's not a kind of, oh, this is a bit intense this morning. But I really felt like that. And like I said, that little rebuke I needed. I needed a reset. And we do sometimes need that, don't we? We can get into these patterns where we get lost a little bit in our minds and we get caught up on the waves of life. And that's not to say that, there's nothing wrong with going through tricky spells. But at the same time, if we take our eyes, our focus off the King, then that's where we can get caught up in mess and nonsense that we don't really need to get involved with. I wanted to share this verse last week, actually, but time went, and I'd actually mentioned this in one of the sharing Sundays before Christmas, and it also appeared this week for those who are doing the Bible reading guide, so I felt that actually it's got my attention. So it's well known, I'm sure we all know it, it's Proverbs 3, verse 5. And it's just verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. For me, if there is a verse that I want to cling on for the rest of 2022, it is that verse, those two verses right there. It's about trust, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, submit to him. And trust is a huge thing, isn't it, at the moment? So many of us have lost trust in so many things around us. Lost trust in government, in authority, how things have been handled. Other people have lost trust in other things, in terms of the culture that we exist in terms of what we're fed and what we read in the media and how that aligns with our own beliefs. We might have lost trust because we might have been let down by those who we love the most through unfaithfulness or injustice or sinful acts. And trust can be a risk, can't it? When we think about us having to place our trust in something else or someone else, for those who have been hurt, if you've had trust issues in the past, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to build yourself back up again and be open and vulnerable to people. And being able to trust, especially broken human beings, because that's what we are. As regardless of how you might look at other people, we are ultimately sinful, broken people. And with the best will and mindset that we can have, we get it wrong, don't we? And for me in particular, I've done it. For the people I love the most, at times I have let them down. And it is painful, and it's a painful experience. But we are reminded that Scripture, it points to another, doesn't it? It points to someone beyond our world, beyond our system, and most importantly, beyond our sinful nature. Yeah, a perfect, sinless God who, in spite of our darkest fears and insecurities, will never let us down. He will never let us down. In Psalm 56, verse 3, we are told, "When I am afraid, that I can put my trust in you." And in Psalm 9, verse 10, it says, "And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." It's so reassuring to know that, isn't it? That all of us in this room who have put our trust and faith in Jesus will never, ever be abandoned by him. It doesn't mean that we won't be scared or we won't face difficulties or tricky situations and trials, but to have the creator of the universe to walk with us through any storm should be the thing that just resonates with our hearts right now. I just wanted to read a bit of scripture in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 17, and I think this, for me, just paints just two really interesting and helpful pictures. So we think about putting our trust in mankind, in systems, in money, in health, in all these other things. I'm going to read the first part of this. So in verse 5 it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. What a horrible image, but so well explained for those who are reliant on mankind, who are reliant on those things, who are putting all their faith, all their time, all their effort into earthly things. And now the other picture from verse 7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. This should be an encouragement and a reassurance for us. We might feel like that. We might feel that these last 2 years or whatever, even these last few weeks, have been a bit of a drought for us. It could be spiritually, it could be financially, it could be emotionally. We could feel like that. But that image of what God is saying to us, that we can, in spite of the storm, in spite of the situations we face, that we can be that deep-rooted tree near living waters, fresh streams, that we can just face anything, that regardless of the circumstance of situations, health scares, money worries, everything, we can face that in the days and weeks in this year ahead. And we can live from that place of trust and deep-rooted trust and assurance. Theo, I hope I'm not going to embarrass him, but this week in our Connect group, used that word of undergirding we're reading through 2 Corinthians. And I completely agree with that. It's strengthening the foundations, that undergirding of our faith in God, that actually we're not going to be affected by those things that come along, the new systems, the new requirements, or new changes in job, life, family, personnel, church, whatever it may be. If we are firmly rooted, if we are walking and in walk with the Saviour, we can face any trial and any battle. And it will be there. There is no promises in the Bible. We're not here, promoting a prosperity gospel. We're not going to promise you wealth and abundant health. That's not what the Bible says. But it does say, in times of trials, in times of trouble, you can call on me and I will answer. Back to Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. This time of year, we do give a lot of attention, don't we, to sort of pathways or our next steps or the route we're going to take this year. As a family, we used to do a lot of hill walking growing up in some very picturesque parts of the UK, so Yorkshire Dales, Lake District. And most families, I'm sure you guys can sort of resonate with this, we've got sort of stories in our family that have become kind of folklore or the things that always get brought and mentioned again at family events. And a lot of them, I'd like to say, are nice memories. They're not. It's normally bad situations that we like, oh, that was unforgettable. And even en route to some of these walks where we'd go to, say, the Lake District, my mum or dad would point out lay-bys where we've had to have an emergency stop for a wee behind a bush, or, oh, you remember that one? We had to stop over there because the travel tablets hadn't kicked in properly and we had to completely give you a full outfit change. But it's nice, isn't it? Because it's a memory and we remind us of those trials. In our house growing up, we used to have sort of moments and places where certain tantrums were taking place. We would describe them as, oh, Phil threw a wobbler, or someone had a, you know, someone was frog march of a, out of a cafe because they didn't have the dessert they needed. And one such event, we're in the Lake District, we're doing a walk, it was the Newlands Round, if you know that, it's one of the Wainwright walks with a couple of peaks. And as a family, we set off, it was quite cold, it was dry, but as we got higher up, the snow was quite deep in places. And at that point, my brother was sort of mid-teenage years, so he wasn't speaking to anyone. I was just like a hyped puppy, so I was kind of doing laps around, throwing snowballs. My dad was, you know, in full dad mode with his compass and map and Gore-Tex and heading straight on. And what we'd kind of forgot, that my mum was struggling quite a way back. She was not having a good time of things. And obviously, as you're getting into places where the snow was getting deeper, you could see that it wasn't working well for her. So we all sort of stopped and waited for her to catch up. And what happened at that moment is my mum was sort of getting her breath back and we were kind of semi-enjoying seeing her struggle, if I'm being honest. That's not very nice, but that's the truth. My mum looked up to see the hill thinking she'd reached the summit. And when we said, all right, we're going to crack on now, we've still, that's not where we're heading. We've still got the one behind we're aiming for. My mum just completely stressed out. She's like, I'm not going any further. That is it. I have lost my joy. I refuse to go any further. And she sat down in the snow and the tears started. And unhelpfully, which I think my dad had some intention to be encouraging, but he kind of sat next to her and said, look, Pam, unfortunately for you, we've reached halfway. And if you decide to go all the way back, it's going to take you the same amount of time, effort and stress as it will do if you keep on going forward. And I can understand in some way there was sort of some helpful information in there, but it was the truth. My mum had seen the false summit and she'd put all her effort into getting to that bit. And when she then found that the rules had changed, the goalposts had moved, her energy, her frustration, her emotion boiled over in that moment. And luckily, I think a warm flask and a sweet treat, we managed to sort of coax her through, and by hook or by crook, we got to the end of that walk. But for me, that resonates with us, doesn't it, at the moment? We have, for so long, in this last year and a half, hit those moments where we thought, oh, we've reached the summit. We've got through things. Oh, that the fact that redundant, I could have faced redundancy at work. We've got through that. Oh, we can back and we can get back to normality. We can meet again in people's houses. We can go on holiday. We can see loved ones in different countries. And then suddenly it's like, boom, sorry. Things are coming back. Cases are rising. You're not going to do this. We're going to get masks back on. We're going to do this. And suddenly it's like we hit this moment. And we've got to be very careful that physically, emotionally and spiritually, we don't just sit in that place and just give up. There is a real danger that in our lives at the moment, because of the uncertainty of the future, we can just stay still. And from my own experience, when we walk in with the Lord, if we stop, it's not about just stopping and pausing sometimes. That's something, a different experience. We are very much in danger of stagnating. And I think for us, as we walk, if you walk with people, and us as a small church in particular, we can hit those points, can't we, where things get tricky. Or, I don't know, if you've journeyed with someone who is so close to making a commitment, and then that's it, they've walked away. It can really hurt. We've said goodbye to people who are no longer, yeah, in fellowship in the same way, and it hurts, doesn't it? And we've got to be careful that we don't allow those disappointments, allow those frustrations to eat away and get into that relationship between us and God. And if not, if we don't move forward with God, we're going to end up in a position where we can retreat and fall into bad habits. We will stagnate. And like we said, we've got to be really wise that we are encouraged and not disillusioned those things. But we've got to be honest as well. We've got to be honest with our walk, with us. We've got to check ourselves. We've got to encourage each other. The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And we've got to challenge each other, especially when we make a decision about not being involved in certain things, whether we stand back a little bit or just step out of situations. We've got to be quick. We've got to be very aware, because quickly, the fire, if we step out of that fellowship, we can grow cold, and our relationships with each other can grow cold, and most importantly, our relationships with our Saviour can grow cold. And we've got to really, really, yeah, walk with each other in that position. God cannot be on the back burner. We've got to make sure that we don't get caught up in this cycle of weariness at times. So, how can we make sure that we're not going to end up in that place? How can we make sure that we are encouragers and pathfinders for others? Let's go back to this verse again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all. I'm saying all in capital letters. And lean not on your own understanding. In all, capital letters, your ways submit to him. This year, we need to find that all, don't we? We need to make sure that this heart is his first and foremost. We need to invite God in all aspects of our lives, not just the Sunday morning version of ourselves that we can get a little bit smug about sometimes. We need him in everything, in work, rest, and play. And guess what? We need him more in the horrible stuff as well. The stuff we don't want other people to see, the mindsets, our sinful nature. Yeah, too often, too many people start compartmentalizing their lives, don't they? Where they sort of have church friends here, work friends here, and we try to keep things separate. Yeah, we've got to make sure that God is across all those things. Work, rest, and play. Spiritual time, everything. He needs to be in it. He needs to be in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Those private thoughts that we have, that we might be embarrassed to share. The trick of the enemy is for so long, he wants to shame us in our sin. He wants us to make those habits, those things that we often struggle with ourselves, he wants us to be alone with that. They call him the accuser, and he wants us to deal with that alone. He doesn't want us to know that God is ready to walk with us through that. And the ironic thing is, God has seen everything anyway. We often don't. We try to hide things that we're doing where we're not following the ways we should. But God has seen that. And we, because of the cross, because of the work at Calvary, we should have no condemnation in sin. We should be free from that because of the power of the cross and Jesus' death. And when Jesus said it was finished, it really is. So we've got to submit to God in that. We've got to hand over that sin, hand over that baggage and our hopes and fears for our lives. And if you've never done that before, please let me encourage you to do that today. Place your trust in Jesus, our Savior. Let him be your all in all. I'm so pleased that Pete sang that song this morning. It's one of my favorites. But that is the challenge for us today. Are we going to let, in 2022 as we kick off, are we going to allow Jesus to be all in all? All in everything. I hope we are. I'm going to finish on that verse again. Because I think this is what we need to be aiming for this year, today, this week ahead, and whatever the future holds. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest droughts and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have picnic. Father God, we come afresh today, and Lord, I pray that our hearts will be changed from today. Father God, as I journey with each of my brothers and sisters here, and for those who are joining in at home, Lord, I pray that you will be our first, our all in all this year. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with whatever is going on in life at the moment, Lord. I pray that they will bring it to the cross of Calvary. I pray that they will pass that baggage, that sin to you, Lord, through your power. And Lord, for those who are facing uncertainty in jobs, in family, in health, Lord, I pray that they will reach to you, that their focus and their eyes and their heart and their trust will be in their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray as we gather in fellowship, as we eat and have food together, Lord, I pray that we can come out of this place changed and fired up for you in 2022. I just ask that in your precious name. Amen.